I want to be like somebody. Young people are always saying, I want to be like somebody. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't care who you say my idol is in life. You need to take all those and put them aside if you're a Christian. And you say, my goal is I want to be like Christ. And that's what we're talking about this week in all the things that we're going to look at. Now, if you'll open your Bibles, I want you to go with me to some scriptures. And let's look at what the scripture says about the heart of Jesus. Start with me in Matthew, and I'll put it up here for you in just a second. Matthew chapter 20. Here's the heart of Jesus exemplified, ladies and gentlemen. Matthew chapter 20 and verse 28. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. The Lord did not come saying, I'm a king, you serve me. The Lord left heaven and came here and said, the reason I'm here is to serve you. The heart of Jesus. Secondly, turn with me to Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5. And you know the passage. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let me read just a little further. Who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking on the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. Be careful with that passage. I'm amazed that some brethren want to take that verse and say, well, Jesus left heaven and gave up his divinity. Ladies and gentlemen, he couldn't do that. It's impossible. Jesus did not give up his divinity. What he did, he gave up his privilege, his right as a member of the Godhead to stay in, to live in heaven and never leave it. The Lord said, I will leave heaven and go to earth and live inside of a fleshly body. I will leave heaven and the throne, and I will come to earth and live on my creation and live in a body so I can suffer and die so that you can have hope. You know, he could have said, if he was very selfish, he could have said, I'm not doing that. I don't have to do it. I don't want to give it up. I want to stay where I deserve to be. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Thirdly, our Lord is an example of giving up blessings to help others. Look at 2 Corinthians with me, chapter 8, verse 9. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. Is that talking about wealth? No. What's it talking about? That everything that Christ had in heaven, he was willing to give that up for a time to come here to say, I want you to have salvation. I want you to have hope of heaven. I'll do that just for you. Well, let's go further. Our Lord, in his heart, is an example of serving others in the smallest of tasks. Turn in your Bible to John chapter 13, verse 13 beginning. You know the story. He's with the disciples. You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought also to wash one another's feet. For I've given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. This is not in a worship service. This is not saying we ought to wash feet up here in the front of the worship service. Our Lord is saying to his apostles, can you all imagine what really happened? Here is a member of the Godhead living in a fleshly body who takes off his outer garments and gets on his feet and washes the dirty, gets on his knees and washes the dirty feet of the apostles. Does that picture just at the immediate glance look wrong? Something not look right about that? A member of the Godhead washing dirty feet of 12 men. It's the ultimate example of our Lord showing humility and showing that we ought to serve others in the smallest of tasks. And never say, well, that's below me. Never say, why doesn't somebody else do that? But rather have a heart that says, I am so grateful I can serve others. Our Lord, ladies and gentlemen, is an example of showing genuine love. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 2. And walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. Our Lord in his love gave himself for us, and it was something that pleased God the Father. The challenge to show genuine love. Our Lord in his heart is an example of persevering in the midst of horrible mistreatment and attacks. Turn to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Hebrews 12, verse 2. Looking to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Our Lord endured the worst ridicule, hatred, spite, mistreatment, crucifixion on a cross. He did so to the end because it was heaven's will. Again, our Lord is an example, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 23, of how you deal with mistreatment. You ever mistreated? Sure. How do you deal with it? Do you get defensive? Do you say, people are mistreating me and I'm going to mistreat them back? Jesus, how should I act? Who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. If you go back in that text and look back just a couple of verses, verse 21, for to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps. Ladies and gentlemen, the challenge that I'm laying in front of you this morning is that God has called you and me to say, stop and look at my son and say, that's who I need to imitate. I need to have the heart of Jesus Christ. Now, brethren, if we look at the Lord and acknowledge who he is and respect him, then our challenge as Christians should say, I want to be like him. He who says that he abides in him, do you say that? Do you say, I'm a Christian. I belong to Jesus. I live in him. He who says that he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. Wow. This morning I want to take you on a brief study of three things in the life of Christ and ask you, do you really have his heart? Do you have a heart that's submissive to God the Father and his will that Jesus had? Well, let's find out. Today we're going to look at the heart of Jesus and submission to the Father's will. It starts, if you'll turn with me, to Luke chapter 2. For time, I'm not going to read the whole text. But you know in Luke chapter 2, verses 41 to 52, we have the story about Jesus when he was how old? 12 years old. What's happening? They're going to Jerusalem. Why? To worship God in one of the three Jewish feasts that was required of Jews every year, the Passover, which, as you remember, reflected back to and was a memorial of the deliverance from the land of Egypt of the Israelites. It is interesting that they went to Jerusalem every year for this Passover feast, and when Joseph and Mary went there and took Jesus, and when they started to return home with their family and friends, they got out at the end of the first day and they couldn't find him. The next day they traveled back to Jerusalem. On the third day, you remember that they found him. Where did they find him? At the temple. What was he doing? What was he doing? Excellent. He was discussing the old law with the Pharisees, people who had perverted the law, people who had made all their own additions to God's teaching and were trying to bind those things upon people, and Jesus was teaching them what the law really said and meant. You remember when Mary and Joseph found him. His mother's question was, "Son," verse 48 if you're looking at the text, "Son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously." And what was Jesus' reply? In your own words, "I'm about my Father's business." Question: was Jesus dishonoring Mary? Not at all. But watch, at 12 years old, Jesus was saying, "I understand the Father's will." He properly understood it. He properly taught it. Some of you young people who are in this assembly today who are 12, 13, 14, 17 years old, I want you to listen to me. Young people, submission doesn't start when you're in your 20s or when you're in your 30s. If you want to be God's young person today and God's young man or young lady, it starts in your heart now. The heart of Jesus, seen at the Passover, concerned about the Father's will. Now, secondly, if you will, turn to Matthew chapter 3 with me, and let's read these verses. You know about it. Matthew chapter 3, and we'll read verses 13 to 17. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. And John tried to prevent him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and you are coming to me?" But Jesus answered and said to him, "Permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." And then he allowed him. When he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Here's what I want you to think about at the baptism of Jesus. Did John want to baptize him? Yes or no? Why not? He didn't think he was worthy. Why did John not think he was worthy, Nathan? Remember Elizabeth and her pregnancy with John. Remember what she was told about John and what Zacharias was told. Did they know who Mary was carrying, yes or no? Yes. Did John know who Jesus was? Yes. Now, there were some times you might wonder when he says, okay, are you going to get about your mission or not? You know, excuse me, yes. Well, absolutely, absolutely. Talk about that Tuesday night. But here's what I want you to focus on about Jesus, that he was determined to obey the Father even if another person was in awe of him and tried to dissuade him from being baptized. Here's John in essence saying, you don't have to do that. Question, was Jesus baptized because he was a sinner seeking salvation, yes or no? No. He was baptized because God's will for the Jews was that they be immersed. He was a Jew, and therefore he was saying, I need to do it. I know that John the Baptizer knew who he was. I need to be baptized by you. But Jesus knew that as a Jew, he had to obey this command for Jews, and he was determined to be obedient. And watch this. Neither John's awe of him nor John's attempts to discourage Jesus were going to hinder him from obeying the Father. Now, ladies and gentlemen, no wonder the Holy Spirit descends upon him in a sign of commendation. No wonder the Father speaks from heaven and says, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Jesus was going to obey what the will of God was. He was going to be submissive to his Father no matter what. But I have to tell you, as much as I see when he was 12 and when he was 30, this next passage is one that'll humble you to your core. Turn to Hebrews with me, and let's read chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. And we'll start at 5. So also Christ did not glorify himself to become high priest, but it was he who said to him, you're my son, today I've begotten you. As he also says in another place, you're a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death, and was heard because of his godly fear. Though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. Philippians 2:8 says this, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient even to the death of the cross. You know, as we just read in Hebrews chapter 5, when it talks about him making cries to the Father, vehement cries, terrifying fear at what he was enduring and going to face. You read about it in Matthew 26. Verse 39, he went a little further and he fell on his face and he prayed saying, oh, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Put it in your own words. What was Jesus saying? Father, don't let me have to do this. I don't want to go through the rest of this. And yet you know the last part of that verse. Nevertheless, not as I will, but thy will be done. Now I want you to stop just a moment and reflect with me. Look what's up there. The submissive heart of Jesus. That when it says, I'm going to be out there talking to people about God's will, I'm going to help people understand it, I'm going to be teaching it, Jesus was doing it before he was a teenager. When it was heaven's will to be baptized, I'm going to do it and nobody's going to stop me. But when it came to suffering and dying, because sinners need a Savior, the flesh was crying out, I don't want to have another pain. But the Lord was saying, I know that's what has to be done, and as much as I don't want to do it, I have to do it. Ladies and gentlemen, compare that kind of mindset with the mindset that you and I have when it comes to what God says to us in Scripture. Well, Lord, I'm too busy to do that. Lord, that's asking too much. Well, Lord, nobody's serving me. Lord, I don't have time to study the Bible anymore. You know, Lord, I don't have time to talk to people about your will. I've called you to let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Some observations, if you will, with me about his obedience. Number one, our Lord's whole focus was obedience to the Father's will. I love these three passages in John 6. Verse 38. I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. Chapter 8, 29. I always do those things that please him. Chapter 17, verse 4. In the real Lord's Prayer, I have glorified you on the earth. Now listen, I have finished the work which you gave me to do. I am obedient to the Father. Secondly, he completely understands the scope of submission and its demands. I hear people say sometimes, you know, the Lord just doesn't understand how difficult it is for me. Let me turn it around and say, you and I don't understand how difficult it was for Jesus. Though he was a son, listen, he learned obedience by the things he suffered. I hear people sometimes say, you know, when the Bible says the Lord was tempted in all points like we are yet without sin, I hear people say, well, the Lord wasn't tempted like I am. Yes, he was, and worse. I look again at our Lord and his submission to the Father's will, and he would not allow the expectations of others to keep him from submitting to the will of the Father. You know that when Jesus came here, there were a lot of people whose expectation was, here's a man who's going to be an overthrower of Rome, or at least a liberator of Israel from Rome. They wanted an earthly king. That's not what my mission is. He would not let the well-intentioned wishes of others hinder him from anybody. Even a prophet. He told his disciples about his upcoming death. Do you remember when he told them about his death and burial and resurrection? What was Peter's response to Jesus? Do you remember? Huh? No, Lord, that can't happen. That's not who you are. That can't happen to you. And there's a statement, and I think I'll say more about this again in another lesson. You remember what Jesus did? He turned to Peter and said, "Get behind me." Was Peter Satan, yes or no? Well, what did Jesus mean? You know what he meant? Peter, if your wishes, although well-intentioned, if your wishes really happened, every sinner would be doomed eternally. Peter, in your good intentions, you're right over here with the devil, because if your intentions happen and I don't die, the devil and his wishes and will win. That's not why I'm here. And our Lord would not let horrific fear and horrible suffering, even to the point of death, keep him from submitting to the will of God the Father. I remind you again, he who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. My brethren, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the... God has called upon ourselves to humble ourselves. God has given us some commands that, to be quite honest, we may not like. But you know what? It gets down to the question, am I submissive to God? What about those difficult commands? Forgive. Well, yeah, Lord, I'll forgive somebody, you know. Uh-huh. What if sometimes you don't want to? You remember Peter kind of patted himself on his lapel and said, Lord, Matthew 18, hey Lord, how many times do I have to forgive somebody until seven times? And Jesus said, you forgive until 70 times 7. By the way, he was not saying you forgive to 490 times. What he was saying was, you have unlimited forgiveness like I do. Wow. What about our Lord's commands when some of those get really tough? Can you imagine being Abraham? Go and offer your son on an altar. I have to tell you, Hebrews chapter 11 just is amazing to me. But it tells me what submission and what faith really are. Listen to Hebrews 11, 17. By faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises, what promise? You're going to have a son. He kind of got to the point he didn't believe that, didn't he? I got to fix it myself, and what a mess he made. But listen, he offered up his only begotten son, of whom it said, and in Isaac your seed shall be called. Concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. Do you understand that God is telling us about Abraham? This man had such a submissive heart that when God said, you go up and offer your son, he went and did it, saying, I know God will raise him from the dead. How do you know that? Because God said, Isaac is the son of promise. You're going to have descendants through Isaac. This man knew. And so, if God says, you go offer your son, I'm going to do it. Let me give you another example. Tough command. And Mark, I tell you, a lot of us preachers, we play with this passage. Jesus said in Luke chapter 14, 26, if anyone comes to me and he doesn't hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he can't be my disciple. And I've heard brethren all my life teach that passage and say, well, that means you've got to love less your family than Jesus. That's not what Jesus said. The word in the Greek language is hate. Well, now, wait a minute, I got a problem. Honor your parents, love your father and mother, but you got to hate them. How do you put those things together? The Bible doesn't contradict itself. Folks, here's the point. If my parents, if my wife, if my children come to me and say, I don't want you to do what Jesus told you to do, you don't have to go to worship. You don't have to be baptized to be saved. You don't have to forgive. My response to people, my family, needs to be the same response that Jesus had to Peter. Get behind me, Satan. It's not that you hate the person, but you hate their ungodly, unbiblical direction. I want to conclude this class with some words you know. Because you see, folks, when we talk this week about submission, in reality, and let this mind be in you, which was in Christ, here ought to be our theme as Christians. Oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer. This is my constant longing and prayer. Gladly I'll forfeit all of earth's treasures, Jesus, thy perfect likeness to wear. Oh, to be like thee, oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer, pure as thou art. Oh, to be like thee, full of compassion, loving, forgiving, tender and kind, helping the helpless, cheering the fainting, seeking the wandering sinner to find. Oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer, pure as thou art. Oh, to be like thee, lowly in spirit, holy and harmless, patient and brave, meekly enduring cruel reproaches, willing to suffer others to save. Oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer, pure as thou art. Oh, to be like thee, Lord, I'm coming now to receive anointing divine. All that I am and have, I am bringing, Lord, for this moment, from this moment, all shall be thine. Oh, to be like thee, my blessed Redeemer. Ladies and gentlemen, what an example Jesus is for us. You know, we're going to talk this week about us as congregations, us as members, individually and collectively, having submissive hearts. I want to tell you something, brethren. If individual members have a mindset that says, I am going to imitate Jesus, and every member does that, I'm going to tell you, congregations will live in peace. If we as individuals have submissive hearts, we're going to be a light in our community for Christ. If we as individuals have submissive hearts, we're going to stand up for the Lord and the truth. And that's all we have to hold up. And we're going to do the same thing collectively. I urge you this morning to evaluate your heart. Do you really have a submissive heart? Do you really have an obedient heart? And the challenge. Ladies and gentlemen, let's go and be like Christ.